In response to the heated debate over a downtown Islamic center in mosque, WNYC invited New York Police Commissioner Ray Kelly, a forensic psychiatrist, and leaders within the Muslim community to come together with Brian Lehrer and WNYC reporters to explore diverse perspectives on the roots of homegrown terror, alienation, and Islamophobia. Hear the next New York conversation, easy for Scott Simon to say, tomorrow at 3 on 93.9 FM, and then at night at 8 o'clock at 93.9 FM and AM 820 WNYC. It is the silly season in American politics. When isn't it the silly season? Just out of curiosity. And Obama paranoia has reached a fever pitch. Up next, Gail Collins returns to discuss political rhetoric in our ongoing series, How Did Politics in America Get So Weird? I'm Miles O'Brien, in for Leonard Lope. This is WNYC and WNYC.org.
WNYC support comes from Glenmead, an independent investment and wealth management firm for individuals, families, and institutions seeking advice, generation after generation. More information available at glenmead.com. Fisher & Phillips LLP, a national labor and employment law firm that represents employers in New Jersey, New York, and across the nation. On the web at laborlawyers.com. WNYC is a media sponsor of Here's Current Production, Border Towns, a musical mashup of recordings from the borders with seven performers, composed by Nick Brook, now through Saturday. Tickets and details at here.org.
Wynton Marsalis is no stranger to the jazz and classical worlds. Now he's bringing them together with a symphony that requires an orchestra to swing. Today on Soundcheck, Marsalis discusses his latest work and more. That's coming up at 2 and 10 on 93.9 FM WNYC. At the beginning of September, we decided to start keeping track of more, well, shall we say, notable things that politicians have said this election season. To help us place these quotes and actions in context, we invited New York Times columnist Gail Collins to come to our show each Tuesday up until the November elections. She's joining us again today in the third installment of our new election series, How Did Politics in America Get So Weird? Gail, welcome back.
Thank you.
You know, we need some theme music for this, I think. We'll have to work on that. Anyway. All right. Newt Gingrich, I guess, wins the award this week. We actually have the clip. Let's listen to Newt Gingrich say what he said. Listen up for a sec.
It's really a stunning insight to say, what if he is so outside our comprehension that only if you understand Kenyan anti-colonial behavior can you begin to piece together, and that's the most accurate predictive model for his behavior.
Kenyan anti-colonial. What does that mean?
Well, nothing good. I think we can agree on that. I find this kind of amazing. I understand it. Basically, what Newt Gingrich is saying is that Barack Obama so identifies with anti-colonial third world movements that he regards the United States as the enemy to be undermined. And I've just never heard anybody say stuff like that about a sitting president before. Not even George Bush, when everyone was most, certainly not anybody who was planning to run for president himself. It's just amazing. And I find it so interesting that so many of the Republicans now, the national Republicans, are referring to what Obama has done over the last 2 years as so outside our comprehension, as if he had told everybody to wear their underwear on the outside or something like that. I mean, the guy passed a couple of bills, but he's done nothing that every traditional Democrat who's come in for the last two, three decades has not done. He just was a little more successful at it.
So is this driven by the Tea Party fervor? Is Obama attempting to curry favor with the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party at this point?
Gingrich? Yeah.
Gingrich. I apologize.
Obama not bothering.
No, that was not even close. I think people knew that was wrong. Anyway, go ahead.
It's interesting. You do get the feeling that many of these national Republicans are so terrified of these people and so completely at a loss as to how they actually feel or why they got that way that they're kind of running around sort of shrieking desperately. You're seeing, and we'll see tonight how it goes in New Hampshire and in Delaware and sort of in New York too, but I'm in Alaska right now, and the sense in Alaska, you know, that this guy, Joe Miller, Miller, who no one had ever heard of before, suddenly toppled a sitting senator, Republican senator, in the primary. Just all this stuff has, I think, the traditional Republicans just so terrified that they'll say anything right now.
So can you see Russia?
No, I can't even see. I was very embarrassed this morning. I was talking to one of the candidates here, and I said, you know, I'm down in Anchorage. I said, wow, while I'm here, I really wish I could go up and see the big walrus migration that we're hearing so much about in Barrow.
You betcha.
He said, you know, that's like flying from Orlando to Boston in terms of distance.
It's a big state.
And really, you do feel like a complete outsider when you're here. They've got a world that's so different from ours.
This rhetoric, what do the polls tell us about whether this kind of Kenyan anti-colonial talk resonates with people?
I don't know that there's been any serious polling of that, but certainly when you poll people about what they'd like to see, what they're upset about, you don't get this sense of hysteria that is coming out now in the Republican primaries. You know, I saw a poll today. If you ask people, well, should we repeal the health care bill, which is so unpopular, most of them say no. I mean, that sounds too dramatic a thing to do. You know, and certainly most people would, I'm sure, not say that they think President Obama is plotting against the United States. And I think people find that kind of thing sort of offensive. Most people do anyway, that sense that you're trashing the president, that you're going so completely over the top. I'll be interested to see how this works out over the next couple of months.
So let me get this straight, though. Anti-colonial, for just a moment. Does that mean Newt Gingrich is pro-colonial? Right?
Good question.
Is that good? Is that what you do? You want to be pro-colonial? Actually, wait a minute. This country was founded on anti-colonial, wasn't it?
You would think so.
Anti-colonial is good, isn't it?
When it's us, it's good.
I guess. All right. I just talk about head scratchers. Let's talk about Haley Barbour for just a moment, the governor of Mississippi, and he's mentioned quite a bit in the presidential sweepstakes, right?
Yeah, and he was asked this week whether he believed that I can't believe we ask people these questions now, whether Barack Obama was a Muslim, and he said no, he took him at his word.
Who asked these questions?
Reporters. It was at a breakfast for reporters, and you actually do come to a point now where you need to ask these things because it's gotten so strange out there. But when he was asked why so many people, 18% in the last poll, say they think he is a Muslim, he said, well, that's because he hasn't told us much about his childhood. And we don't know a lot about his background, the way Americans have always known about the backgrounds of presidents, all the way back to how we knew that George Washington chopped down the cherry tree.
Now,
this is troubling on two points, one of which is that Barack Obama wrote a whole book about his childhood.
Maybe he missed the book.
He did miss the book, in fact. And secondly, George Washington never chopped down the cherry tree. Now, as a historian, I find that kind of troubling, that we're using that as sort of the apex of how much we're supposed to know about our president.
Well, I thought he did chop down the cherry tree. Did I miss something in third grade?
No.
He said,
no,
Father,
they made that
I
up.
Didn't tell a lie. It's all made up. It's
a guy
myth.
Made that up, yeah.
This was early presidential myth-making and spin-making or something. I don't know.
Exactly. We don't know a thing about George Washington's childhood, actually.
Yeah, we really don't know much about it, and that is kind of an interesting statement. What is Haley Barbour going after there, do you think? Is it the same thing that Newt Gingrich is trying to get at?
Yeah, I think that there is this sense that they're going after again and again and again and again and again that Barack Obama is an outsider, that he came from the outside, which is ironic because now everybody is running as an outsider. But apparently if you're an outsider and you actually get elected, especially if you're a Democrat, then you become the dangerous other that we don't know anything about. So your motives in passing a health care bill might well be to undermine the country so that the colonial power underdogs in Africa will do better. I mean, the whole thing, when you take it all the way out, is just so nuts.
I'm starting my head starting to spin here. So you want to be an outside pro-colonialist, right? And
yeah,
that's good.
But
is it?
It sounds like that's good, but that's still not good. I mean, that's the interesting. Maybe we should start all over again with George Washington and the cherry tree, an outsider with an axe who will not chop down a cherry tree.
All right. So where does this lead? What I mean, if we continue doing this installment, it's just going to get weirder and weirder, isn't it?
It's going to be interesting to see. You know, this is the last week of the primaries, and the primary season is naturally nuts because you're on both sides, especially on the Republican side, because the Democrats, when they're speaking to the people they expect to see show up at primaries, they're speaking basically to the unions and the other organized groups who deliver like that. The Republicans are speaking to this new energized group of really, really angry people. So they're saying strange things. Maybe.
Gail Collins with the New York Times from Alaska. Thank you so much. Sorry for that abrupt ending there.
That was a pleasure.
All right. Thank you.